Dr. Brett McCabe, a performance and sports psychologist. Brett, if I can call you that, I feel like I know you. I follow you on Twitter. I have seen and heard you visit with Don Hawes, and if you can put up with him, I figured you could handle me for a little while. And even though, full disclosure right at the front, a former LSU Tiger, we still welcome you to Tuscaloosa and welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. So don't hold that against
me. I'm not at all. Did play, though, for the Tigers, a four-year letterman on the baseball team, played in the early 90s and part of two national championship teams, three SEC championship teams, went to the World Series three times, and really got to be a part, Brett, of the front end of what was that phenomenal run for Skip Bertman.
Yeah, it was first and foremost, it was a great honor, and to be around guys that are in such, you come into a program, and it's a lot like what you see with Coach Saban doing in the football team. Our coach had what we call the system. And the system was that no player is bigger than the system, and you trust what's going on, and you listen. And if you're patient, great things can happen. And it obviously worked. I mean, Coach Bertman won 5 national titles in 10 years and, in an era of great equity and scholarship limitations and such. And just, it was an honor to be a part of the program. And really, the impact was so much more off the field than it was on the field. Our guys were, we go back to alumni weekends and you see physicians and attorneys and great business leaders and teachers and coaches. And it's just a bunch of guys to be an honor to be affiliated with.
Only around Coach Bertman a little bit, but did the play-by-play for years for a guy who is a disciple of his, obviously, in Jim Wells. And
absolutely,
a very, very similar approach. These were guys that were not the easiest in the world to play for if you couldn't handle the mental approach. The ones that could flourished. The ones that couldn't, it was a struggle.
Well, and that's what got me into psychology. I was a business major going to do law school, and it was my own struggles and the own challenges I had to get on the field. It took me 4 years to get on the field of any significance, and that was including an injury where the year before I was going to be one of the top pitchers and had an injury. And it was just, I wish it was an easier injury, such as having surgery. It was a tendonitis on the shoulder, which is never good. But it took me a couple of years to really get over the pressure. And it was the pressure, not so much of failing, but it was the pressure of succeeding and the fear of what happens if I did well. Was he going to continue to put me in situations where I had to respond and I'd go out and sabotage it? And I tell the story when I give talks that there was a time when I was pitching against Texas Christian and going into my fourth year, and I'd really kind of lost a lot of velocity and I wasn't really all that good, but I just figured, it's my last chance. And I come in relief and I get out of a jam against Texas Christian, and Nolan Ryan is sitting in the opposing team dugout and we're pitching against his son, and I get out of a bases loaded jam with nobody out, and I come running off the field, and Coach Bertman grabs me and says, you want the good news or the bad news? And I, of course, as a pitcher, I'm excited. I thought I did a great job. And he said, the best inning I've seen pitched this year, but if you walk this leadoff batter, I'm taking you out of the game. Well, subsequently walked out 4 pitches, walked leadoff batter, and he followed through with his message. And he did the exact same thing to me the next day. And it was a point where it was something that had to unlock in me to kind of say, look, I can't keep playing away from failure and trying not to mess up. Instead, I have to go out there with the mentality of dominating and going out there and being aggressive and trusting and being vulnerable. It's okay to fail. My goal is not failure. My goal is about winning and dominating the opposing team. And let me change that mentality. And I was very fortunate that that was a spark in my life, both baseball-wise, professionally, and also in my personal life, to just say, look, life is not about being what you're afraid of. It's about locking into what you desire and being willing to accept the consequences of it.
Dr. Brett McCabe, our guest here on Tide 99.1. He's a PhD in performance and sports psychologist. And I know that your industry is not new, but we're hearing more and more about it in recent years, more and more college programs utilizing the mental aspect, people like yourself that work between the ears as much as what we see take place on the physical side of things.
No question. And it started years ago in the tennis world and downhill skiing, believe it or not. And then it's grown out of it. And, when I was playing back in the early 90s, Coach Burton was very involved in the mental game, but we didn't have consultants like myself. And when I decided to do my doctorate in clinical psychology, I always knew I'd come back to working with athletes. And I always felt that I had a unique perspective to work with athletes, knowing both the clinical and the sports side to blend the two together. But in today's world now, you're seeing more and more universities hiring full-time people that may come out of the counseling center. And it's so important. The mental health needs of athletes, the mental health needs of our general population, we have to destigmatize things and let people realize how powerful the mind is. On the other side of that, performance is no different. Executives and top Fortune 500 companies have used executive coaches or people like me for years to make right decisions and stand behind them. Athletes should be no different. And, you know, we know what Coach Saban does. You know, we know what his involvement in the mental game is, and other coaches. I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity to work with several of the coaches over in Tuscaloosa. I love my time over there, and working with them and their commitment to the mental game and the things that are going on over there are really, really impressive. And I had a conversation with somebody the other day about it. I was in Tuscaloosa, and I said, you know, these athletes are very fortunate to have the support that they have to embrace the true power of their mind in their performance. So you see it more and more.
You deal with, as you said, not only athletes, but professional people, business people as well. There's going to be a 60 Minutes piece on Coach Saban this weekend, and I had the conversation earlier in the program with someone saying that, you know, I think that's why you can hear the same thing said by Nick Saban in all likelihood in the 60 Minutes piece that you hear him say on SportsCenter. But it tells you that it's going into a different realm. When you see it in Forbes, when you see it on 60 Minutes, hear it there. It you realize how these principles that he believes in and have been so successful really do carry over to other aspects. Is that why, I guess, services such as yours play across these lines of both sports and business as well?
Oh, no question. Excellence is excellence, right? Whatever tool we use it, whether we're trying to score a touchdown on Saturdays or put a first serve in on the tennis courts or sink a 20-footer for birdie to win a tournament, excellence is excellence. We don't get there by chance. It's a choice that we make. We used to always say in the baseball room that Coach Burtman could be a Fortune 100 CEO with no problem. He ended up becoming the athletic director at LSU, which is pretty equivalent to running a very large business. There's no question in my mind Coach Saban could do the same thing. Coach Grant and Coach Murphy and Coach Gaspard and all the other coaches that are over there. I know I'm leaving off a couple, but those are folks that you don't get to that level, particularly at a level like the University of Alabama or LSU or Ohio State or Texas, unless you understand the principles of what human behavior and human performance is all about. Yes, you can get the best players in the country to come to you. That's great. And unless you can build them up and have them buy into a vision and have a structured vision and process in order to achieve that vision, then you're just throwing things against the wall to see what sticks. The best coaches, the best leaders can empower the people underneath them, the people that are reporting to them, to be collectively driven towards a goal and understand how to achieve that success. And I think, you know, seeing what's going on in Tuscaloosa and being an LSU Tiger from my background and being an alum, it's very impressive to watch.
One of the most amazing things to me was sitting down with Coach to tape his television show last week after the game and have him say that we've told the players don't even want it, and actually heard him in the locker room say it, you know, don't want you thinking about any games right now. Just want you to go get away. You know, you got a couple of days off, and then they came back and they had practice this week, and still, they're not talking LSU. And it's one thing to hear him say that, but after seeing what he's done here in 7 years now, knowing, Brett, that they were going to somehow be able to do that. And I can't imagine, as big as this game always is, it's one of the probably three games on the calendar that you point to every year, Alabama, LSU, and yet knowing that even though it's the next game, with it being 2 weeks out, somehow Coach Saban is going to have those guys, as much as you possibly can, focus instead on just themselves and not think about what's next.
Yeah, you know, it's really cool. I tell my parents and my youth athletes, the worst thing you can do is get in the car and start reviewing the game, or as soon as a player comes off the field and start reviewing the game because emotions are still high. And I think, you know, it's better to kind of say, look, take a couple hours, let's go eat dinner, let's talk about something else. What Coach Saban is talking about is the same way. You know, our emotions get so high, it's really hard to listen. And it's really hard to process because we're still defensive. Our adrenaline's up. And getting the guys to say, look, take 2 days off. Now, let's not do anything stupid. Let's not do anything on Twitter. Let's not put out an interview that causes, you know, to fan the flames at all. We know, there's no question that the team will be locked in this week to practice on both sides, in Baton Rouge and Tuscaloosa. Those coaches don't need to say anything to get them to remind them of the importance and the urgency of this game. But to be able to say, look, get away, because we're going to come back and I'm going to need everything of you in the next week. So take a couple days off. And then their job in the coaching staff is during the week of practice, you know, like this past week, is to get them to focus why they're there on that field at that moment. And then give them a chance to get away. And then bring them back in and get them to focus at that time. But it takes a lot of discipline, too.
You know, I've got to throw you under the bus. Give me a pick next week.
Yeah, actually, you know, and I'm gonna be, I got to tell you.
I know I'm not going to get an answer. I just wanted to see how you were going to answer me.
I got to tell you, I could tell you some stories off the air and the teasing I get when I'm over in Tuscaloosa. But I will say this, my wife and I, we've become very big fans of Alabama. I think Alabama will win the game. I think they're a much more disciplined team. I think that I am a huge fan of A.J. McCarron. I think what he does on the football field is really exceptional. I think the discipline that they play with and the readiness they play with, the thing that I am so impressed with watching Coach Saban's teams is that they don't take days off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I it's so funny. The first basketball tournament I went to with Coach and down there, and, you know, we were in New Orleans, and he was teasing me and Coach Grant, and we were laughing about that. And I root for Alabama now, and I've been, you know, it's so funny. People grab me in the training room or something and say something. I'm like, hey, look, Roll Tide. I mean, this is when you get to know the people that you're around, you root for them.
Sure.
The jerseys change, and I played there 20 years ago. I'll be honest, I don't know anybody on those universities or anything like that. So I do think Alabama will win the game. I think it's not a home field advantage type of thing. I think it's a team that's a better team.